Well, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Let's open with a word of prayer, please. Father, we thank you that you are always available at whatever hour, whatever place, even whatever mood we're in. Lord, you are available and willing to hear us. And I thank you. Enjoy hearing us. You tell us in your word that you rejoice in us as your inheritance. And we are weak, feeble, going astray like lost sheep. But we thank you for your word. We thank you for calling us back. And we pray this morning as we once again look at your word in Psalm 119 that we would hear you speak to us. So lead us now in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I was going to bring a necklace of pearls, but I couldn't figure out a way to do that easily because I look at Psalm 119 a little bit like a necklace of pearls. They're strung together, but they're not really, they're all individual pearls. They're not one big long. So it's just so glorious to spend some time in this psalm, it seems to me, because if you look at one pearl or if you look at eight at a time, today we'll look at another 16, actually, as you know. But each of them in their own right is worthy of a whole study. But we'll look at 16 once again today. I think verse 65, as we begin this morning, "You have dealt well with your servant," kind of sums up the first eight stanzas. And I was just thinking about his doing well, his dealing well with us. And I just was thinking of this old hymn that we're familiar with, "Great is thy faithfulness." So let's just sing that together as we begin.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not.
Reading these 16 verses, beginning with verse 65, you have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right or righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to your word to your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood. But I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me, those who know your testimonies. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. The word afflict or affliction or afflictions are seven times in seven verses in this psalm. And in today's 16 verses, we have three of them. We have almost half of them. So we have a considerable copy or a considerable amount given to afflictions today. And we will see the psalmist drawing out of that the beauty of the afflictions that applies to believer in what God is doing in us, and that we should be welcoming them rather than hating them, and rather than trying to get out of them, and rather trying to avoid them, because God is giving it to us for a reason. Because he has promised to perfect us, has he not? He's never going to perfect us when we're going along smoothly, everything is fine, when our heart is fat as grease. In fact, we're going the wrong way when things are going really well. We typically go astray, right? Well, verse 65 begins by a great statement. You have dealt well with your servant. Is that true or not in your case? Can you ever think of a single time when God has not dwelt well with you? Now, you may have to wait sometimes a little bit, because as you're going into the affliction, you're probably not going to think, oh boy, God is really dealing well with me today. You're probably going to be thinking the exact opposite, right? But he's doing that because he loves us. He's doing that because he loves you. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. And in his word, he says he will never leave us nor forsake us. In his word, he says he will love us. He loves us. He wants us to be with him forever and ever and ever. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So his word is good. His word is true. His word, he has to keep his promises in his word. So yes, you have dealt well, Lord, according to your word. Verse 66 has a little prayer request in a way. Teach me. Teach me what? Teach me good judgment and knowledge. Why? For I believe your commandments. The commandments are so important for us to give us the standards of God's heart on what he knows are best for us. So with those standards, then we can handle knowledge. With our standards, we can have good judgment, right? Apart from that, we can't. There's a lot of people filled with knowledge today. More people filled with knowledge today than ever before. But I doubt that there's much more spiritual wisdom than there's ever been. Even though we got 8 billion people almost, or approximately, on the face of this earth, there are not an awful lot of them that really are walking with good wisdom and knowledge because of believing his commandments. Now we get into the first afflicted here in verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. Think of that verse. In picture, if you will, an affliction is a thorn hedge. And you're in the middle of this thorn hedge and you don't like it. But it keeps you in good pasture, right? And so as soon as the affliction is removed, things are good. What happens? In your prosperity, a gap opens up that thorn hedge. And where do you go? You leave. You go away. You run away. You go out into where you shouldn't be going, right? And so the affliction is, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You ever look at your afflictions that way? That, thank God for that affliction. And verse 68 is such a statement of monopoly to me, in a way. You are good and do good. Is there anything or anybody or anything out anywhere that is always good and always does good but God? I don't think so. But you are good and do good. And why then? Teach me your statutes. I want to know statutes from a good God and a doing good God. Amen? And once again, we get to pride. The proud have forged a lie against me. Anyone who's standing for the Lord is going to have lies forged against them. But what do you do? But I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. If you're doing that, it doesn't really matter what these lies are. He will take care of it. And we will respond with our whole heart on keeping his precepts, is what this verse says. Do you do that? Do I do that? Well, I do somewhat, but with my whole heart, I don't know. Once in a great while, maybe. Yeah, I keep his precepts with my whole heart. Verse 70, their heart is fat as grease. Now, that's a descriptive verse, isn't it? Fat as grease. That's a good statement of prosperity generally. That's a good statement of nations that are going to seed. It's a good statement of our nation right now, isn't it? Our heart is fat as grease. Lethargic, unwilling or unable to do much of anything with excitement or with great vigor and energy. You just want to sit around and glut out, right? And you've glutted out so much you're having even a tough time getting out of your chair, probably. I'm not talking about you, but I'm talking about the one whose heart is fat as grease. But I delight in your law, and if I delight in your law, I will not be sitting around getting fat as grease in my heart, right? I have too many afflictions to do that. Well, what's it say, verse 71? It is good for me that I have been afflicted. You think that? Does that agree? Do you agree with that? It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Now, before you jump in too quickly and say, oh, yes, I think if you had a tape recorder on you for this next week, we would just see how much of that time that you are saying, thank you, Lord, for this affliction. I just love this affliction. It's so great. It is good for me that I've been afflicted. Why? Why is it good for me that I've been afflicted? That I may learn of your statutes. When do you cry out to the Lord? When you're in great trouble. When do you cry out to the Lord? When there's no way out. Now, usually we go every which direction before we go to the Lord. We may go to Google. We may get on the phone. We may get on the text. We may contact everybody in the world. Pray for me. Pray for me. I've got a major problem. And you haven't even thanked the Lord for what you're to get out of this situation. Now, maybe that doesn't fit many of you. It certainly fits me. Although I'm so clumsy with the texting, I don't do much of that because, you know, it takes me an hour to get out a 4-word text because I keep hitting the wrong keys. And it's so frustrating. I don't even want to send my text, you know. So what I do, if it's a more than about four words, I type it out on my computer and send it to my phone, copy it onto the text and send it. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. And then, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. How many people really could say that really applies to me? Well, moving on into the next the stanza of eight verses. Verse 73. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Think about that. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. You know, I don't like my nose. I don't like my ears. Or I don't like my brain. Or I don't like much about myself. Well, who made me? Who fashioned me? Who gave me everything I have and everything I am? And you can say the same thing for those around you, too. You know, you see that person. Boy, that's a funny-looking person over there. God fashioned that person over there, and God fashioned that person right here. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Are you intricately made or what? Do you know how your eye works? Do you know how your ear works? Do you know in a baby that 1 million receptacles have to be made in each eye, because from the nerve to the brain, for you to see? 1 million in each eye exactly, can't have any of them out of line? You think that just happens by chance? I mean, you think you just showed up on a rock one day? No, you're wonderfully and fearfully made. We know that. So now when God has made us that wonderfully well, you think he's not also able to bring us to great perfection on the spiritual side? Having our hearts be so much radically different than what they were before we were his, before we were saved. So in that you have made me, Lord, in this beautiful, beautiful way, give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Yes, Lord, you've given me a great brain. You've given me a great, great capacity to learn. Now, what do I want to learn? I want to learn silly things. Things that take me away from the Lord, or do I want to learn what he has for me, that if I am obedient to those things, I'm going to be living the closest to him at the highest and best possible way? Verse 74, those who fear you will be glad when they see me. That's a great statement. That's a double-edged statement, isn't it? Number one, it says that those who don't fear you probably won't be glad to see you. It also says when they see me. What's that mean? There's witness there, isn't there? So take it on the first part. Those who fear God, how will they be when they see me? Will they be glad, or will they be, oh, that poor guy? He says he's a Christian, but look at him. I hope not. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me. Why? Because I have hoped in your word. Again, it's not good in any of us, but it's what he's doing through us. And it is that he's speaking to us primarily through his word. One of my favorite verses here in this whole psalm, verse 75, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right or righteous. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Then the rest of the verse follows, and that in faithfulness. We sang about that this morning. Great is his faithfulness. And that in faithfulness you have spared me from afflictions. Is that what it says? No, it says you have afflicted me. Some of these verses, you read them firsthand, you say, I don't really like that verse that much, you know. But then when you look on into it, when you think about his faithfulness in the afflictions that he is giving me, it's because his judgments are right. He's not a mean God who's trying to trick us or to trip us up. He's a God who's perfecting us, who loves us so much. And he does that through afflictions, doesn't he? Now we're going to have five lets here, or come to pass, or let it occur, or let it take place. First one, verse 76, let I pray. Your merciful kindness be for my comfort. Think of that, merciful kindness. We have the only God that that definition fits. There's not another God who is mercifully and kind, merciful and kind. But here, your merciful kindness, what? Be for my comfort according to your word. Now that comes right after the afflictions, right? So we're afflicted, and we're knocked around a good bit, and then he is always there. Always there to restore us. He's always there to bring us back. And so having been afflicted, may your merciful kindness be for my comfort. Now that's spiritually, primarily. Some may have some physical aspects to it as well, but primarily spiritually. And then let your tender mercies, not just mercies, but your tender mercies. Oh, these words are so unbelievable, aren't they? Let your tender mercies come to me. Why? Now he's really more in desperation on here on this prayer, that I may live. That I may live. And what he's really saying is, without your tender mercies, I can't live. Let your tender mercies come to me that I may live. For what? Why? Your law is my delight. Boy, you just see a person of God here, don't you? They're keeping the law, they're obedient, they're enjoying the tender mercies, but they're crying out, let your tender mercies come to me that I may live. Very personal request. Verse 78, let the proud, oh, again the proud, let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood. God will take care of them. You don't have to take care of them. You don't really have to respond to their lies. Pray for their souls. They have treated me wrongfully with falsehood, but, again, I will meditate. I will meditate on your precepts. And then another witness one here, verse 79. Let those who fear you turn to me. Wow. How many of those who fear the Lord turn to you? Those who know your testimonies, because you reflect the Lord. Those who know your testimonies, those are godly people. Those who fear you, who know your testimonies, may they turn to me. Think about that witness there. That's a very, very important aspect to look in the mirror and see, how godly am I, really, in terms of what do people see in me? What do believers see in me? And, of course, what do we had that earlier, what do unbelievers see in us as well? And then finally in verse 80, let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes that I may not be ashamed. And what is the central point there? Well, there may be many, but I think it's, again, a witness. I want to be a good witness. If I'm not a good witness, because my heart is not blameless regarding his statutes, then I would be ashamed. I would not be a good witness. We're not talking about sinlessness here. You'll never be sinless in this body until we get our glorified body. But blameless means you're just going out of your way to do things that you shouldn't be doing, right? And I don't want to have these things so smudging up the mirror that all you can see when you look in a mirror is the fingerprints on the mirror, right? Or the moon. When we look at the moon, that's a reflection of the sun. It has no light in it of itself. It's a reflection. That's what we are. We're the reflector of his light. We don't have any source of light in us. But if we're all gunked up with blame or sin, then there's no reflection there, is there? Or there, at least it's a distorted reflection, isn't it? They'll see us in that, in not in a blameless way, but in the opposite of that. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes that I may not be ashamed. Father, we thank you for this word. We just pray we would be the witnesses you would have us to be, because we are walking in accordance with your word. Forgive us for complaining, murmuring about so many things. Help us to quickly see in every situation what you're doing or going to do, or at least be ready for that, to see that, ready for that responsiveness, and because you are good and do good. So we thank you, Lord. Now we have that great opportunity to pray together. That's why we're really here. So guide us and lead us now in this time of prayer. In Jesus' name. Father, we do thank you for taking the fall, paying the price. We thank you for that liberty, that freedom from sin, Lord, that bondage that has been broken by you for every believer above all else. And Lord, in the world, I just want to thank you for this nation, Lord. I want to thank you for the freedom, liberty that has been bought with much blood of others. And Lord, we are, like the psalmist said today, their heart is fat as grease. And Lord, I thank you for the church being shaken up, shaken out. And Lord, I pray for the true church to stand. I pray for the true Christians to stand. We hear there's 20% Christians in California. That would be 8 million. I kind of doubt that. If there's 8 million here, we ought to see more things happening than are happening. But what if they're all like me? Maybe not much would happen. And so, Lord, we need you. That's the issue. I do thank you for Larry Elder, Lord. I thank you for the gifts that you've given him. I thank you for his commitment to you. And, Lord, we are scarce with godly leaders. We have so many ungodly leaders. And, Lord, as has been said, unless you would put him in power, it'll never happen. But I thank you for the interest in the recall of so many different votes for that. And so, Lord, on the 14th of September, whatever your will be done. And, Lord, we don't deserve anything but bondage in this nation as we've turned our back against you. And yet we know that is so far from what you gave us through the founding fathers in 245 years without our Constitution really being changed, unheard of ever before. Such great, great wisdom in that because it was of you. And so, Lord, yeah. We would pray that your will be done in this nation. And, Lord, we aren't saving nations. You are the only one that can save a nation. But we want to see people saved in the nation and in every nation. And so, Lord, I do know that there's much activity in the church and those areas where we've talked about today, such great persecution, and we don't want to see it. But we also know that the other side of that is great church growth. And, Lord, as we said, where you hedge us in good pasture, we do pretty well. But when things get really, really well, then the gap opens up and we leave and go into all kinds of places we don't belong. And that's what any nation has ever done in the history that has had prosperity for a length of time. And that's what we are doing right now. And we've just turned our back on you. And we know better, but that's what we're doing. So, Lord, help us to stand and help us to be thankful and grateful for what you have done. Help us not to dim what you have done for us and what you promised for us by tragedies around us on the outside, because it's totally different. That doesn't affect our relationship with you at all. And so, Lord, help us to be stronger and stronger. And, Lord, you will cause us to stand. You will cause us to declare, I think, more and more in this nation, whether we're yours or not. Thank you for each one who came, and may we be in prayer as we go forward in the days ahead, if you give us many, I don't know, but until you take us our last breath, we're to just praise you and honor you and talk to you. Be yours. In Jesus' name, amen.